Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello and good morning, my brothers and sisters and mighty companions. Thank you for joining in again today. We're going to do lesson number 8. This is Brother T, your host today, as we journey through A Course in Miracles workbook lessons. I apologize for the time shift. I've really been trying to make this work for me personally this new year, and I find that my mornings are just jam-packed with lots of activity, and it just has become quite difficult for me to get this in at the hour that I had selected before. So we're going to try this time slot and see if we can make this work. And I'll be adding some other things into the episode, and you know, to try to make this, again, as I shared in our first discussion here this year, that I'd like to try to make this more professional in my contribution to the work of our brother Jesus through A Course in Miracles through this Blog Talk Radio channel. But I certainly and sincerely do appreciate those of you that have been listening in and catching the episodes on Blog Talk Radio. And the number of listens are going up, and I'm very excited that some people that are out there find value in what we're offering here. So thanks again for being one of my mighty companions and joining in. Our dial-in number is 563-999-3547. That's 563-999-3547. If you'd like to join the conversation, and I'm just about to the point now where I believe we can begin to allow people to raise their hand and join the conversation with us here on Blog Talk Radio as we're continuing in our discussion. And the episodes, I do think that the 30-minute time slot, the 30 minutes makes good sense for spending time with the lessons and with our conversation in A Course in Miracles. So today we are going to do lesson number 8 in the workbook, A Course in Miracles workbook. My mind is preoccupied with past thoughts. Boy, isn't that the truth? We really probably don't have much of an argument with this lesson, yes? Right? Our minds are just filled with the thoughts of the most recent experiences we've had, especially if those experiences tend to be, high intensity. If there's any kind of conflict going on in our lives, if we've been to any kind of a major event, if we've been in a crowd, if we've been in around a place where a lot of people are gathered and the energy is really, really high, we will tend to drift back to that. But I also think it's good as a just a case in point to think about going back to the times that we spend, and I hope you are spending, and I'm trying to certainly find time for myself to do so, to spend time every day in reflection and meditation in some place that's quiet, and to reflect a little bit on some reading if I can each day. The Course in Miracles is in and of itself can be somewhat challenging, but it can be very, very comforting as we begin to really understand what the Course in Miracles is leading us to and the thought reversal system of the world's presentation. I find tremendous comfort in just picking up the book and the textbook in particular and just letting it fall wherever it will when I open it up, and suddenly it seems to be exactly what I needed for that moment, for that day, for whatever I'm experiencing. So finding some time to meditate and reflect is also very important. And thinking back then, in each moment, our mind is really occupied with the things that we do, right? The things that we do, the people we are living life with, if you will, and so forth. So that is not a statement as some of the other ones in the first 7 that we've already covered, that it's not really difficult for us to accept, I don't believe, right? So let's jump in. This idea is, of course, the reason why you see only the past, which was our lesson yesterday. I see only the past. So today, my mind is preoccupied with past thoughts is the reason, the idea, that we see only the past. No one really sees anything. He sees only his thoughts projected outward. So we don't really see anything. We're only seeing our thoughts projected outward. this would be a good time maybe to insert the principle that thoughts are things. Thoughts are things. Thoughts are creative. This is one of the most important teachings of A Course in Miracles, that thoughts are creative. And so when we look at our world outside of us and we disagree with what we're seeing, that one statement that our thoughts are things and our thoughts are creative takes us back a little bit to being responsible for what we're experiencing. We talk about this all the time, you know, self-responsibility, self-honesty. But we look at the outer world and we say, well, but it's not, you know, this is not my creation. If I was going to create it, it certainly wouldn't look like it does now, right? Well, maybe, maybe not. We'll dig in a little deeper as we get going, right? But let's hold on to that principle to add to our conversation today, that thoughts are things. Because let's look at it this way. If you are the extension of the mind of God, that is the love of God, the God, the creative force, and you're an extension of that, then by the very nature of who and what you are, you are creative. You are creative. Thoughts are things. So we see only our thoughts that are projected outward. The mind's preoccupations with the past is the cause of the total misconception about time from which your seeing suffers. The total misconception about time. I think it's interesting that one of my teachers, who is just profoundly changing my grasp and understanding of my own reality, has shared with me that the harmonic conversion in 1987, that we went through a period of, you know, vibrational shift also on our planet, in our solar system, in our lives, also was the beginning of the speeding up of time. Has your perception of time shifted? Maybe in the last 30, 40 years, right? Wow, you know, time is actually speeding up a little bit. Now, one of the interesting things about it, if thoughts are things and we are creative beings, then maybe it's responding to us. And I do, in fact, believe that it is. I think it's responding to the very work that we're talking about today that was given to us back in the 60s and 70s, called A Course in Miracles. It's beginning to shift the consciousness of us as individuals and also as us as a collective society, if you will, on our world. And our world responds to our energy, our consciousness. Well, I guess I'm getting a little off track here, but I think it's all pretty relevant, right? It's all pretty relevant. So we have a total misconception about time from which we see, from our seeing of our seeing suffers. Your mind cannot grasp the present, which is the only time there is. It therefore cannot understand and cannot, in fact, understand anything. Now, I want to say, before you go beating yourself up, that the mind he's referring to here is not your true self, your higher self, the mind of spirit, if you will, that is not what he's referring to. He's referring to the mind that you created. Yeah, you created an idea of yourself, remember, thoughts are things, that you could be something separate. And the experience of that pretension, okay, we all kind of, in A Course in Miracles, he says a tiny mad idea, is that we literally began to dream a dream of separation, and in the dream, being joined as we are as brothers and sisters in God, we kind of are co-creating an experience of separation, and it has become our reality, just like our dreams when we go to sleep at night become our reality for the period of time that we are in that state of consciousness, in that state of mind. Very, very interesting, yes? So our mind cannot really grasp the present, which is the only time there is. So we don't really understand time and cannot, in fact, understand anything. again, as we talked yesterday, this is really about the humbling of the self. And this is not comfortable. This humiliation of the ego, small self, is not a comfortable process that we're going through here. And for many of us, you know, I liken it to what's been referred to as the dark night of the soul, right? It's like, who am I? When I start to really question how my mind has tricked me and I've been hoodwinked, literally, by my own thinking, imprisoned in a process, a thought system of fear and guilt. When I begin to unlock that door and begin to find my own freedom, wow, there is a period there when I'm like, oh, wow, this is like I'm going through like a dark night of the soul because I can't really understand. And the mind that can't understand, and this is something we have to be willing to ultimately accept. Willingness is a very high consciousness, by the way, my brothers and sisters. It's, you know, willingness is one of the most important, you know, levels of consciousness that we can attain in our journey to evolving mind. Being willing to unlearn the teachings of the world. And it's people say, oh, I know a lot of times we look at our spiritual path and that's supposed to be all, oh, it's 11:11. How about that? Our spiritual path is we're supposed to be open, right? And it's all love and flowers and, you know, and kumbaya kind of thing, right? Well, it can be very, very joyful and pleasant to be in the company of mighty companions that are on the spiritual journey with you. Absolutely. But what we go through individually, the release of the commitments that we've made to the mind of the ego self, the small self, and all of its constructs of who and what it is unsettling at best. Very, very unsettling. And that's what, you know, we must deal with as we begin to relinquish and let go and release our own thinking. So it's therefore cannot, this little mind, this mind of the ego, cannot understand time and cannot, in fact, then understand anything. Right? So it's okay. Let's just be willing to be okay with that statement for now. We'll set the skeptic aside, this aspect of the ego self that is the skeptic that wants to maintain control and make sure, no, we don't want to be fooled here. Is this teaching too radical? Maybe we better put this down, set this aside, not read any more in this book. No, I'm going to encourage you to tell that voice to just go to the back. I'm not going to listen to that today. The only wholly true thought one can hold about the past is that it is not here. Boy, we can take that, right? It seems so real when we were there, but we do know now in this moment, this present moment right now, the now that we're in now, that we can't venture back into the dream we had last night, and we can't venture back into even the last 10 minutes, yesterday, last month, last year. Can't do it because it really isn't there. And it's certainly not here. So to think about it at all is therefore to think about illusions. Only the truth is true, right? And what is real is eternal. Now, these are the principles of A Course in Miracles, the foundational building blocks of our understanding, our thought system, and understanding of that thought system. What is real is eternal. And so if anything in the past cannot be now, is not now, then it must not be real. Therefore, we can agree, can we not, then, to think about it at all is to therefore to think about illusions. So very few minds have realized what is actually entailed in picturing the past or in anticipating the future. The mind is actually blank when it does this because it is not really thinking about anything. We're not really thinking about anything when we think about the past. Wow. If I'm going to set up my whole attitude and who I'm going to be today and the energy of my consciousness and how I approach people, et cetera, based on what happened yesterday or even in the last hour, I am deluded and I am self-deluded into believing that something that is an illusion is real and I'm giving it the presence and power of my mind. Very important lesson, right? My mind is preoccupied with past thoughts. So the purpose of the exercises for today is to begin to train our minds to recognize when it's not really thinking at all. While thoughtless ideas preoccupy our minds, the truth is blocked. So we are literally putting up a screen or a filter or a veil between us and our true self. It's almost like, imagine that we're driving down the road, as a nice little metaphor, we're driving down the road, and our true self is sitting in the back seat with all this wisdom and all of this beautiful knowing of and certainty of the truth of who and what we are, and it's speaking in a normal tone and letting us know and educating, but helping us to discover the truth of who and what we are. And we've got the radio cranked up as loud as we can get it, listening to something that is just nonsense. That's kind of what our thoughts are doing. They're kind of blocking out, overshadowing sounding louder, and so masking this, what has been called the still quiet voice. But it's not quiet. It's just not going to start screaming and yelling at us in mind like the ego does, right? So while thoughtless ideas preoccupy our minds, the truth is blocked. Recognizing that your mind has been merely blank, because it's blank because, in other words, he's saying we're not thinking of anything real, so it's kind of blank. But it is occupied, yes, with thoughts, but those thoughts aren't real. Those thoughts are about illusions, don't have any value, don't have any meaning. And so it really is a blank in the sense that nothing real is going on. So rather than believing that it's filled with real ideas is the first step to opening the way to vision. So the exercises for today should be done with our eyes closed. This is because you actually cannot see anything, and it's easy to recognize that no matter how vividly you can picture a thought, that you're not really seeing anything. With as little investment as possible, search your mind now for the usual minute or so that we're practicing our practices now in these first few lessons, merely noting the thoughts that you find there. So you can start labeling them. You can start naming them. Name each one by the central figure or the theme it contains. This is about me. This is about my mom. This is about my spouse. This is about my child. This is about my boss. Right? And then we introduce the practice periods by simply saying, I seem to be thinking about my work. I seem to be thinking about my church. I seem to be thinking about whatever you want to put in the blank, right? And so we can begin to look at, and this is a process of awakening mind, is to begin to really sincerely look at the thoughts of self. Whatever the small self ego mind is preoccupied with, which of course, what do we know now? Thoughts of the past. My mind is preoccupied with past thoughts. Even if we expand on that a little bit in our conversation today and say, well, yeah, I'm thinking about the future. Well, you may very well be, but you're only seeing the future through the eyes of the past. You have no construct for what the future would be unless you're seeing it through the past, your experiences of the past. So we're always preoccupied with our thoughts from the past. So now, we're not actually seeing anything. It's easier to begin to recognize that no matter how vividly we might picture a thought, that we're not seeing anything. So with as little investment as possible, we're just searching our mind for a minute or so, and we're just noting, right, the thoughts that we find. And then we kind of label them. We look at what is the central figure or theme that's being contained in these thoughts, and then pass on to the next, and then introduce this practice period by simply saying, I seem to be thinking about whatever that is. Then name each of your thoughts specifically. More specifically now, we say, for example, I seem to be thinking about the name of a person, or about the name of an object, or about the name of an emotion, fear, guilt, shame, anxiety, depression, apathy, joy, right? Excitement, peace. So we can begin to name the emotions that we seem to be feeling. And then so on, concluding at the end of the mind searching period with, but my mind is preoccupied with past thoughts. Right? So we're going to take a minute or so now, just a couple of times today, as we go forward today in our experience here. We're going to take just a few minutes, maybe again, set our alarm on our smartphone to just give us a little trigger, maybe once every 2-3 hours. It doesn't have to be, he does not want this to be a stressful practice. Gently, we are wading in to an understanding of the who and what we are. We're not being dropped off at the deep end of the pool, so to speak, because we don't know how to swim yet, right? Imagine ourselves in a very shallow pool, and we're wading in very, very slowly, very comfortably. Some of these lessons are challenging, no doubt, but don't let that challenge, you know, cause you to give up the joy that we're already experiencing as we feel the water just beginning to cover our feet and just getting very steady steps forward, very comfortably, just a few minutes every day, just a few minutes, not a big deal. And we're just going to, when that alarm goes off on our cell phone, our smartphone, we might just say, you know what? What thoughts was I just thinking? Because the mind is cunning, and the ego mind, cunning and baffling. It will keep your attention all the day long. That's its entire intention, is to keep your attention focused on control and figuring out the world. Least you may start to become occupied with figuring out who you are. We wouldn't want that. Well, I'll say the ego wouldn't want that, right? And then we say to ourselves, I seem to be thinking about something, and then we get a little bit more specific, and it seems I seem to be thinking about this or that, whatever it is, and we conclude, but my mind is preoccupied. We're admitting to ourselves, my mind is preoccupied with past thoughts. We begin to see our thoughts as what they are. Thoughts of the past, illusions that hold no power on us in the now, except for what we give it. All power under heaven and earth is yours. You can choose now, right now, whatever thoughts that might be coming up, you can choose in every now to give them no mind. Well, just give that no mind. I love the movie, and we watched it not too long ago, again, Gone with the Wind. And I just love it when she says, well, I'll just think about that tomorrow. Right? I'll just think about that tomorrow. Right? She was literally taking control of her mind. Right? Judy Cameron. Right? This was just a fantastic classic video. So, a movie. So, if you ever get a chance to just spend a little time in reflection, it's on my recommendation list. It's a classic, Gone with the Wind. And notice how we played games with each other. And there was one character in there I would invite you to begin to see, who always saw the best in everyone. She was an enlightened being throughout the whole movie, regardless of the dramas. What a fun movie to watch. That would be great for a movie night, right, with people that you love. But a really great movie for you to practice lesson number 8. My mind is preoccupied with past thoughts. How is this being played out so that I can see it in my experience as I watch this movie? Pretty cool. So now this can be done 4 or 5 times today, right, as I suggested, for maybe 5 minutes today, because you're only going to do this for a minute or so each time. So set 5 or 6 alarms. 4 or 5 on your smartphone, and whenever it goes off, set it on vibrate so you don't disturb anybody around you. This is an inside job. You don't have to be concerned that you're disturbing anybody else. Nobody knows what's really going on right, in your practice. And that's the cool thing about what we learn in the Course in Miracles. We can practice it anytime, anywhere, any situation. Hallelujah, right? All power under heaven and earth is ours. This can be done 4 or 5 times during the day today, unless you find it irritates you, right? In other words, if you're getting irritated by these practices, you can let go a little bit, but make an attempt. Be willing. Remember, we talked about it. Be willing. Be willing. So if you find it trying, 3 or 4 times are sufficient. In other words, we still want you to do it, at least to making an effort. Be willing. So you might find it helpful then, however, to include your irritation. Right? I love it. If I'm irritated, that's my leading edge. That's on my leading edge of my growth. He said, I don't want to be uncomfortable. If you want to grow, you've got to get in the uncomfortable zone, right? We've got to learn how to deal with our irritations, because those irritations are teaching us something. Those are our teachers. Those are our telling moments and helping us to watch our thoughts. This is like a huge lesson, but every lesson is huge as we gently wade one step a little deeper into the comfortable, soothing, warming, loving waters of truth, right? Just one more little step. Very comfortable, very certain in our stance, position, not feeling overwhelmed at all. So you might find it helpful, however, to include your irritation or any emotion which the idea for today may introduce in the mind that's searching for itself. Love it. Which may introduce in the mind searching for itself. We are searching for ourselves. And as I said earlier, unless we become too overwhelmed and too distracted with what our thoughts of the past might be, what the world is presenting to us in our day-to-day, the ego really wants to keep us focused on that, right? And that would be an aspect of our ego self that I call the controller, right? And there's a few more in there, like the protector, and, well, we talked about the skeptic. So those are easy for us to recognize as attributes or aspects of the ego mind. That's the three big, conversations that are going on in our mind. I need to control, I need to protect, and I better be careful. I better watch out. Really, I better not believe this. I better stay away from that, whatever the skeptic is telling us. I better not quit my job. I couldn't survive without money, et cetera, et cetera. Those are not truths. Those are thoughts based on a past and thoughts coming from a mind that has a foundation built on illusion and fear and crazy, right? So that's our conversation for today. And today I want to share a little prayer with us from A Course in Miracles. As I say goodbye, I love you so much, my brothers and sisters. Thank you for being with me today. Thank you for listening in to this conversation, wherever you might be. And I hope you have a great, great day. God bless.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander to temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen.
I send my love.